Let's turn, if you will, in our Bibles to to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. You know, a few weeks ago, Patrick did a lesson on Micah chapter 6, and a lot of people kind of have to fumble around to find Micah chapter 6 and the minor prophets, and I didn't have any trouble finding that at all because my Bible is almost always marked in Micah chapter 6. That's just where it is. These verses are verses that I keep the Bible, my Bible, marked there at, which I found to be kind of interesting. But in Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, which is the same verses that Patrick spoke on, here we read about what God requires of a man. It says, "With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" The Jews of old had to give things to try to atone for their sins. There's a huge list of sacrifices that we have studied in our class upstairs over the past several months. And all of these sacrifices were intended to hurt the person, making them suffer financially for their wrongdoings. Maybe it was the best of the flock. Maybe it was the best of the herd. For some people, it was only birds or grain offerings or things like that. But these were things that people had to find that were perfect, that didn't have any blemish, that were the first of the crop, because they were expected to give the best to God. They had to give things. Here in Micah, we see that God is no longer quite so interested in these kinds of sacrifices. If we look at verses 6 and 7 again, "With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" The writer is asking, what's good enough that I have? What is the best thing that I have that I can bring sacrifice to God for the sins that I have committed? And in this scripture, I think these questions are kind of rhetorical questions in that the answer is it's probably not enough. It's not good enough. But you see, by the time that Micah is writing, we are moving toward the New Testament, a time when the old system of sacrifice would be done away with and replaced with another. In our New Testament world, we no longer have to give things, but instead we have to do things. We're expected to do things. Let's look at verse 8. "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. We see those verbs there of do, love, and walk, right? These are action things, things that we are expected to do, not just things that we are expected to give. And so that's the first thing that I kind of want us to think about today. But then the second thing and final thing that I want us to think about is in the last half of verse 7, where Micah wrote shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. Of course, the topic was kind of, in a way, child sacrifice, wasn't it? Something we know that other pagan religions practiced at the time, even some of them being around the ancient Israelites and Jews. And it's a concept that's not totally removed from us in the Bible, as Abraham was told to sacrifice Isaac, wasn't he? His firstborn son. And although God later would supply a lamb for him, it was a test to see if Abraham was willing to give that up. Because if we think about things on earth that we value, things that have great value for us, and the concept of the Old Testament sacrifice was to give things of great value to God, what would have a greater value to us than our children? When thinking about those things, I was reminded of Ralph Waldo Emerson's essay about the giving of gifts, where he wrote these words: "The only gift is a portion of thyself. Thou must bleed for me. Therefore, the poet brings his poem, the shepherd his lamb, the farmer corn, the miner a gem, the sailor coral and shells, the painter his picture, the girl a handkerchief of her own sewing. This is right and pleasing, for it restores society insofar to the primary basis when a man's biography is conveyed in his gift, and every man's wealth is an index of his merit." The concept that one should give something that represents themselves, their life, the things they do, the things they are, the things that they stand for. We think about that saying from Emerson, and we think that God, the Creator, gave man the creation. He gave us the earth, the Garden of Eden, the creation of Adam, and then later Eve. Everything on earth was given to man, and man's job was to care for it, to care for the plants, to care for the animals. But God gave us his creation, and we still have his creation today. We are, I suppose, the top predator on earth. The dominant force mankind is on earth, above all those other things. And God set it up and established it that way in the very, very beginning. Not only did he give us the creation, but then he gave us his firstborn and only son. If we think of things in context of the old scripture and things that I've spoken about in the past few lessons, the shepherd gave his lamb, didn't he? That's what Emerson wrote of. Therefore, the poet brings his poem, the shepherd his lamb. Well, the shepherd being God gave his lamb, unblemished lamb, perfect lamb, which of course was Jesus, as a sacrifice. The most valuable thing, maybe, that one could give. Jesus, therefore, is the ultimate gift. His biography shows the great love and mercy of God, in that God sent his only Son to an undeserving world, where he was unjustly tried and executed for the sins of others, sins that he did not commit. If we remember what Emerson wrote about the giving of gifts, "Thou must bleed for me." And Jesus certainly did bleed for all of us. And now we have to do certain things to fully receive that gift. We don't just have to give anymore. It's not as simple as giving a money or giving of any other kind of gift or sacrifice to God. But instead, we have to do. We know that in order to receive salvation and be joined to God's special people, that we have to believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized into God's special people. And that gives us a special relationship with God, one where forgiveness is available to any who would follow those steps. But we must continue to live an exemplary life to the best of our ability. As Micah wrote, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. Hopefully these brief thoughts this morning have given us something to think about and something that we can use in our everyday lives. If there's anything that we can do to help anyone to follow God in this way, then please let it be known as we stand and as we sing.